following broadcast comes out of Canaan Baptist Church in Gainesville, Georgia. Our address is 3125 Antioch Campground Road, Gainesville, Georgia, 30506. We have Sunday morning service, Sunday school starting at 10 a.m. Normal Sunday morning service starts at 11. We have evening service starts at 6. On Tuesdays, we have a food bank from 4 to 7. Wednesdays, we have a discovery program starts at 6:30. We meet in the fellowship hall and eat, and then the service starts at 7 o'clock. And Fridays, we have an RU program, Reformers Unanimous, drug and alcohol addiction program. Come be with us. Thank you.
Hi, this is Cody Miller here at Canaan Baptist Church. It's an honor and a privilege to be on the radio this morning. If you got your Bibles, you want to go ahead and turn to the book of Judges chapter 14. Before we do that, we're going to have a word of prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father God, Lord, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for all that you do. God, I pray that you take this Bible, Lord, and I pray that you show me absolutely every word that I need to say. God, I pray you give me the words to preach. God, to the people on the radio this morning, God, I pray that you let them be attentive. God, I pray. God, I pray to you, God, that it might help somebody this morning. I don't want it to just be words that go through the speakers of the radio and go throughout the sound waves, one in ear and out the other, God. But I want a life to be changed, a turning point in somebody's life. As I try to warn, God, I pray you give me what I need and give them what they need. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we read here in Judges, I'm just gonna read some scripture out of Ephesians. You stay right there in Judges. I'll be there in a second. Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Amen. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Judges chapter 14. We know the story here. We all know the story of Samson. Most of the time when we think about Samson and we hear it preached, we always think of Samson and Delilah. We think of Sunday school classes and we always think of that storyline. But I want to read in chapter 14. We'll actually start in 13 on 24. The Bible says, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtal. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, 'I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife.'" Man, I wish it was that easy back in the day whenever I was whenever me and Brooke was dating. If I could have just went to her dad or my dad, I'd say, "Hey, go get her for me to wife." I actually had to work for it. That ain't fair. A little humor. Says that his father and his mother said unto him, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said unto his father, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. We see right here, the first thing that kind of strikes us as odd there for a second. We look at that and say, well, why would it be God's will for him to take a daughter of the Philistines? Why would he want them to mingle like that? Why would he want that to happen? Well, first off, The Bible don't contradict itself nowhere, but God gives us pictures in His words and shows us things that are typologies of other things in different situations. I immediately go back and think to Gomer and Hosea and how that didn't make sense to me. I didn't understand it, Brother Travis. And I said, well, why would God want this to happen? We're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to not have communion, light and darkness. We're not supposed to be yoked up with the world. Why on earth would he want him to marry a Philistine? Well, God gives us pictures. There's been times in my life that I didn't understand the pictures God was trying to show me. There's been things I've had to do, Brother Josh, since I've been in this walk with God and this try to be in this ministry and try to find the will of God in my life. There's been things that I've had to do that didn't make sense to me. And there's definitely been things I've had to do that didn't make sense to my family. It says his mom and dad in verse 4 says, but his father and his mother knew not that it was the will of the Lord. I think immediately the first time God dealt with me about preaching, my family, and I love them to death, and I know they were just concerned, but at the same time, man, are you sure that's what you want to get into? Do you know the responsibility you're getting into? And I understand they were warning me, but at the same time, they're like, man, you ought to really think about it before you do it. But I knew it was the will of God in my life. I knew it. There's been some things I've had to do that nobody else understood. There's been some things that the brethren haven't understood that I've had to do in my life. I tell you, it's good to be in the will of God, Brother Josh. It's good to be in the will of God. I don't find myself there all the time, but I try to. I think we all strive to be in the will of God. I think that's the desire of all of our hearts. But we ought to be in the will of God in all things, and not just in marriage, but in our jobs, in our convictions. And the world's not going to understand that. When I had to put things away in my life that I had done from the time I was a kid to the time that I got saved, there was family members and there was friends that didn't understand it. In their eyes, I was holier than thou. In their eyes, I was trying to be snooty flooty, and I was trying to think. They thought that I was better than them. And the devil will do that. The devil will take these things and twist it around. But what they don't understand is God's got an unseen hand that He works in our lives that don't make sense to people a lot of times, and a lot of times it don't make sense to me. And you look throughout the Bible, and I mentioned Hosea and Gomer, and we look at Samson and his wife here, and it didn't make sense to anybody else. It probably didn't even make sense to him, but I can think of several situations. There's been job opportunities that I've had to walk away from things, and I've had to take leaps out on faith that didn't make sense and scared me to death. And to the rest of the world, I wasn't going to be providing for my family. Didn't make sense, Brother Travis. I didn't know why I took a job, and I'm going to share a little of my testimony here. But I took a job out of the will of God. And when I took it out of the will of God, since that had happened, I had found myself back in God's will. But it didn't change the fact that I was not where I was supposed to be. Well, I was already where I was, so at that point in time, I had to do the will of God where I was at. And I used to make excuses a lot of times. Not really excuses, but it was really hard taking a job where I travel all the time. Was never home. By the time I got to my hotel room after the job site, it would be 1 or 2 in the morning, have to be back up at work by the next day early, and you just forget the things of God real fast. Forget the things of God. As I began to pray and I began to realize the state I was in and beg God for a way that I could still be at home and still provide for my family and still look, and God said, quit your job. I didn't understand that. See, it sounded real good when I was praying for help, but when God said, oh, just go ahead, take a $30,000 pay cut, and you'll be all right. I said, well, God, I live paycheck to paycheck already. That ain't going to work. Like, you know, because I didn't think God could take care of everything. It's how sad that we can't trust God. But as I didn't understand what God was doing, He ended up having a whole grand plan worked out in the background that I couldn't see, Brother Mike. That I couldn't see. It didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to my family why I was doing what I was doing. It didn't make sense why I was willing to jeopardize the food that went on the family's table. And I didn't want to be a deadbeat. I wanted to work, and I didn't understand what was going on. But hey, When I took that step on faith, I don't know how we got right here, but as I took that step out on faith, God provided more than I could ever imagine. He let me keep the job that I have, kept me at home anyways, got me back in church on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. And there was a picture there, a bigger picture. You see what I'm saying right here? We might not understand the will of God, just like Samson's mom and daddy didn't understand it. But there is a bigger picture. And we know why. It was so that it was the... because he sought occasion against the Philistines. We understand that, and I'll try to speed through this next part here. We understand he went, he killed the lion, he gave the riddle, and we'll go back to 8 here at the riddle. It says, after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and he went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and gave them, and they did eat. But he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him, and they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it with me the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth the riddle that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle. Lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire, have ye caused us to take that we have? Is it not so? First off, I'll just say it like this. It is nobody's business to go to anyone's spouse, whether wife Amen. Or husband. Amen. I'm trying to choose my words correctly here on Radio Land and in God's house and try to conceive some background noise of lies and swarms of iniquity between two people. You say, what are you talking about? Well, it says, and Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and ye shall tell thee. First off, you see right there in 16, she says, thou dost but hate me, and thou lovest me not. You can just almost hear her voice right there. Ma'am, you'll stand before God one day for the times that you've used your crying and your tears to keep your husband out of the will of God. And you say, what are you talking about in the will of God? Well, Samson was obviously in the will of God for a time, Brother Josh. It says in verse 25, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. And then we look down right here in verse 19, we'll skip. It said, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And you can find all throughout, these scriptures, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now, I've never been out of the will of God and the Spirit come down on me. If I was ever going to have the Spirit in my life, if I've ever had the Spirit in my life, I had to be in the will of God. I couldn't do what I wanted to on Saturday and come in on Sunday and expect to have the Spirit of God in my life. No, you can't do it. You'll stand before God. Husband, can I say this? You'll stand before God, vice versa, too. It goes the same. But it says, they told her to entice thy husband. And you can't help but see a picture right here, especially in this wicked world that we live in. I know that we heard Brother Josh a minute ago. Well, I guess y'all didn't because y'all are on the radio at a different day than I heard it. But as we heard Brother Josh talking about the way the world makes this happen, you see cartoons and you see all the TV shows that come on and they depict the husband just to be stupid. And the wife will go behind his back and think, he can't take care of this over here. I need to find out what he's doing. I need to find out where he spent this money and where he did this. And find all this stuff out, all behind his back. And then when it don't go your way, and it didn't go the way that she wanted it to, she went to the Philistines and got talking to the Philistines. I said, we won't destroy your house, and we won't burn all your father's stuff if you just tell us what your husband did. First off, what was she doing away from her husband to ever be with the Philistines? At that, I know she was a daughter of the Philistines, but why, where was Samson at? Now, you can look at that in two different ways, and I think you should look at it in both of them. First off, Samson should have never let her go off and talk to other people. It's never right. It is never, ever, ever right to vent your marriage problems and to vent your things to anybody other than your spouse or with your spouse to somebody in counsel. That's the only way it's right. You take it to God, it ain't nobody's business what's going on in the home. And I'm going to tell you why it's not nobody's business. Well, you see the mess. So we know the story. You see the mess that Samson gets in right here. But as you, the problem is venting. If you've ever worked in any public place, and you've ever worked, I worked in a factory for a long time before I started the job that I have now. And I would see all the time, you would hear stories of, so-and-so, you'd start noticing couples in the factory, and you'd say, well, man, I thought he was married to so-and-so. And then you'd hear somebody say, well, he is married to so-and-so. Or she is married to so-and-so, but they've kind of got their own thing going on. You say, what in the world? How does that happen? Venting your problems is what happens. And now I understand the context of what we're reading here, but you can't help but see a picture right here. You can't help but see it in these verses. There's nothing more dangerous than somebody that's going through some hard time in their life or some hard time in their marriage. Man, yeah, it's just things are going bad at the house right now, and me and my wife, we just can't get along. And then just the right devil send the right person at the right time every time to come by. Well, you know, if I was with you, I would never treat you like that. Or if you know I was your wife, I would never do you wrong like that. You'd come home every day and there'd be supper ready on the table and everything would be right, and which is stupid because they work at the same factory on the same hours. It ain't gonna be no different. It ain't gonna be no different. But it says that Samson's wife wept before him. She pitched a big old fit. She pitched a big old fit till she got her way. It says, and lovest me not, thou hast put forth the riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it. I have not but told it my father, nor my mother, and nor shall I tell it thee. And she wept before him 7 days while there just went on and on and on crying. God help, how many times have we seen people that are no longer serving God because somebody got preached at, somebody got their cornrow plowed, and they didn't like the way it sounded, and they went home and wept before their spouse and said, well, if they're going to just treat us like that, then we don't need to be there. We need to go somewhere else, and we need to go on down the road. And because the enticement of the husband, he was enticed by the wife, he gives in because he's tired of hearing it.
Right.
You say, well, you're just being sexist. No, I'm not. But there is a people after people that are out of the will of God today who has been drug out by the enticement of a spouse.
Right.
Kids on their way to hell, Brother Travis, because of the enticing words. Somebody sought counsel from the wrong person, venting to the wrong person. Well, yeah, I don't blame you. I'd go too. I wouldn't stand there and listen to that. How dare he get in his Bible and study what God wants him to say and tell me what God told him out of God's Word? That offended me. What are you here for? What are you even listening to the radio for? Entice thy husband. It's in the Bible. And the men of the city said unto him, this is verse 18, he's told her the riddle. It says, the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter? Well, I'm going to tell you this. I thank God for my wife, Brother Travis. Thank God for mine. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not one of them people that ain't never argued with their wife and ain't never, you know, my wife, me and my wife are real good at arguing with each other, actually. We're professionals at it, Brother Josh. But thank God. I thank God I don't have to worry. I thank God that I don't have to worry about my wife going around and running me down to somebody else, inventing my marriage problem. Man, we all got problems. There ain't no doubt. I thank God for a wife that won't do that.
That's good.
I would imagine, I hope that she's thankful that she has a husband that don't run her down and run. It ain't nobody's business. If you could just see, if we could look at the people that are out of church today, that are out of church today, because they vented their problems to somebody else. Now, I don't know what Samson's wife was talking, why she was with them, but I just know it don't look too good. Where was Samson at? Where was Samson at? But in verse 18 it said, "And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion?" All smart alecky. You can hear it in their voice. You can hear it just come walking up. "Well, we know what the riddle is. We know what the answer is." And you can picture it in today's world. "Yeah, we know what's going on in your family. We know what you've done. Yeah, she's done told us all about it. And we know how sorry of a husband you are. And we know how you ain't been treating her right. And you've been working late. You've been working late all night. And you come home and you ain't got time to take care of the things that she wants you to do. And blah, 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 blah." What Samson said? Samson said, "If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle." Can I say tonight, don't plow with my heifer. She's mine. You stay off of her. You keep your mouth off of her. You keep your hands off of her. It ain't my problems, and her problems are not your problems. You got a problem? Come talk to me. Go take it up with God. Don't plow with my heifer. Verse 19 says, "Now Samson was in the spirit." Am I wrong? Verse 19 says, you better be careful plowing with somebody else's heifer. Verse 19 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down. And he went down to Ashlecon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of their garments unto them," which expounded the riddle. "And his anger was kindled, and he went to his father's house." All right. He slew 30 men in the Spirit of God. You don't think God, I know vengeance is the Lord's, but you don't think God's going to have somebody's back whenever you've done run their family down and you've done messed up a whole thing. God, vengeance was God's, but I sure am glad he used Samson right there. You say, I've probably read these verses a million times, Brother Travis, and God's never showed me all that in it until just recently. And I've looked at other situations and in people's lives, and I've looked at situations in my lives, and it's just God just kind of just popped it out of nowhere right there. But you think of the seriousness of that. Think about the rest of Samson's life, and I understand the typologies that we have with his marriage with Delilah and what had happened. But you know, he found her in the Spirit of God, right? He was in the Spirit. He saw a woman, and it said in verse 4 that it was of the Lord. But then you flip over, and we won't read all that. But it says, "And when Samson." "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her." I always preach about that domino effect, Brother Mike. When tragedy strikes, we talked about this in the jail. I was talking to a guy in the jail about this at RU. When tragedy strikes, you're either going to go 100% further for God or you're going to go away from God. It says, and this is where, and this, if you go back and you think what we were talking about, why were they not together? Why was she ever with the Philistines alone? And why did all that? And you say, well, you can't speculate that. That's not fair. Well, it says in verse 19, or verse 20, it says, but Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. I don't care if it's your best friend. If you're not genuinely seeking help from something you want somebody to pray for, venting winds up in adultery.
Amen.
I've got a best friend. I won't mention his name on the radio. One of my best friends. Because venting, he's now disqualified from the pulpit, Brother Josh. I've got another friend who's disqualified from the pulpit because of this same kind of trash right here. You don't think that the devil, see, the devil's good at this. And Josh, you was talking about over in Genesis, and you think about when the devil, when the serpent come up and beguiled, when talked to Eve and tempted her with the fruit. It's the same thing. What do you think would have been different if Adam would have told the serpent that? What if Adam would have said, don't plow with my heifer? What would have happened different? Sure, we know Eve already done what she had done. What if he'd have been with her the whole time? Where was Adam?
Yeah.
Everybody blames Eve. You know, there's a lot of, you can look at it a whole bunch of different ways. If you've got a godly wife or wife, if you've got a godly husband, you better hold on to him. Because the devil has wanted nothing since Genesis is to break up a family.
That's right.
He had Eve all by herself over here. He didn't come up to Adam and Eve and say, hey, you guys, hey, I got this really cool thing down here. Y'all would love to do this together. He separated them.
That's it.
He got them away from each
That's
other.
It.
Their guard was down.
Yes, sir.
I've never seen, well, in this wicked world, it happens all kinds of ways now, but 9 times out of 10, adultery, they're away from each other.
Right.
One's mad at the other and is talking all kinds of stuff to sister so-and-so over here. And the other one's over here talking all kinds of stuff to brother so-and-so over here.
Right.
And they're both running each other down and they're both getting mad. And then somebody over here that's struggling with things of that nature sees what's going on. And the devil says, look over there at what's going on. They're away. Just like he come in there and tempted Eve. That's how he'll do. He wants to break up the home. Because if he can break up the home, he's real good at breaking up carnal homes, Brother Josh.
Yeah.
But if he can get in the Christian's home, see, here's the thing. Not only does he want to break up the home just to mess up God's communion of marriage, but he hurts the ministry when he can disqualify a preacher.
You're right.
How many preachers can we look at and see where they dabbled off into some God-awful sin because of some harlot somewhere, or they were doing something wrong and some innocent person over here and they were the one playing the harlot.
Right.
It goes both ways. It's just sin, sin. I don't care if you're the man or if you're the woman. I'm not being sexist. I'm saying that husbands love your wife. And wives submit to your husband. If you can never get them two together, and Lord knows it's a struggle every day. But that's what God established, Brother Josh. That's what the devil wants to tear down. How sad. And I believe it's just going to get worse and it's going to get worse and it's going to get worse as time goes on until Jesus comes back and raptures us out. But until before the devil gets cast into the lake of fire, he's going to try to mess up everything he can so he can have as much people go with him.
Yeah, right.
The church is just going to be attacked more and more and more. See, it's now in the way the devil had, you can't go down the interstate without seeing billboard after billboard. Call 1-800-DIVORCE or easydivorce.com or call us. We'll get you the most money and leave your spouse out on the street. You know, well, you get the kid in the car and everything. All on the billboards.
Right.
I travel for a job and use a divorce. You see liquor billboard, divorce, liquor. Every now and then, somebody in South Georgia will have a Jesus Saves sign. pornography billboards, all the way down.
Right.
All the way down. And it's not just in our public life like that, Josh. You bring up a good conversation. The same thing. You don't these devices, these wiles of the devil that we've got to be careful of.
Yeah.
Husband and wife arguing just the right way, and see that billboard. I see that liquor billboard. I'm like, man, if I could just get a drink, I could get her off my. She wouldn't be bothering me as much. I'd have a buzz going. Wouldn't have to listen to her mouth no more. And she's thinking the same thing. You go on a little further. You see that the pornography billboards. Well, man. Maybe I'll just give that a try, and I won't have to worry about pleasing him or pleasing her anymore. You say, "Well, that's just a man's problem." No, ma'am. No, ma'am, it's not. You study the statistics on pornography and the way that the devil's used it. I don't know how we got here from Samson and his wife, but I'm just giving you what God's given me. You look at the statistics on what pornography has done to the Christian. I'm not talking about just the world. I'm talking about Christian statistics. It would blow your mind to see the percentage of women that are addicted to pornography. It would blow your mind. Now, I ain't saying it's as high as the men's, but it's over half. Wicked as hell. And you say, well, that's not, you can't say that. I'm trying to warn you. If the devil can't get you with running your mouth to your friend, if he can't get you with the liquor bottle, if he can't get you with the pornography, he'll try to kill you. He wants to break up the marriage.
Amen.
What is our? What, we look at Jesus in the marriage supper and how he's the bridegroom and the church is the bride. That's all a picture there, and marriage is a picture of that. And if the devil can break up a worldly marriage, then he's bringing shame. He's bringing shame with that biblical picture out there. Those typologies, they matter. That's why we believe the King James Bible, because we can cross-reference, we can typology, we can numerology. This is God's infallible word right here. And if the devil can mess up one little thing, then he brings question to the whole book. And we know the Bible don't contradict itself, Brother Travis. We know that, Brother Mike. But a lost and dying world sees a preacher and his wife split up because of adultery, or split up because of drinking, or split up because of an addiction, whether it be drugs or pornography or whatever it is, then the world's going to look at that and say, man, well, how is he ever really right with God? Samson was in the spirit. We ought to go to the highest mountaintop. We ought to stand on the tallest building, and we ought to look at the Pharisees. We ought to look at the world. We ought to look at the devil. Yeah. Say, don't plow with my heifer.
Amen.
Don't plow with my heifer. What would have happened different if Samson would have been with her? Where was he? I don't know. It doesn't say where he was, Josh. If it does, I missed it. You ought to hold on to what God's given you. You ought to make sure before you get married that you're in the perfect will of God.
Amen.
One of the things that scared me to death growing up, I heard preacher after preacher preach, you better make sure you're in the perfect will of God. You better make sure that's God's will for your life. Make sure it's the one. Boy, I was scared to death whenever I got married. Not when I got married, but to ask her to marry me. I was scared to death. All I could think was every sermon I'd ever heard my entire life. I'm like, man, what if I'm wrong? But God showed me. God, you'll know when you know. Y'all ever hate when your parents tell you that? You'll know. But I thank God for my wife. And again, by no means are we perfect. Lord, no. If there was a camera in our house, then I wouldn't be allowed on the radio. I'm just kidding. But we're not perfect, Brother Josh. But there's some things I don't have to worry about. There's things, and now don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying nothing can't happen. My life could shipwreck tomorrow. I could be exactly what I'm preaching about. But by the grace of God, I'm going to hold on to what I got.
Amen.
I'm going to tell the devil he can't plow with my heifer.
Amen.
Or to tell the world not to plow with your heifer. Thank you. That's the message.